the devaluation of a proverb. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? 1 Samuel 19, verse 24. There is a great difference between the speaking of God and the speaking of people. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That is the testimony of him who has experienced God's speech. Psalm 62, verse 11. And though that word is poetical, it is no poetic freedom. On the contrary, it testifies of prophetic boundaries. It is the immensity, the majesty of God, that he only speaks once in all that he speaks. Indeed, Israel heard his testimony. At various times and in various ways, God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Hebrews 1, verse 1. But the reason God's word is so very precious is that in every particular case, to every particular soul, for each particular purpose, and with each particular impact, it can occur only once. God's word is also history. It is information, but also fact of his revelation of redemption. And because of this, it is in the highest sense of the word, a word for one time only. It can never be repeated. The contents of God's words may indeed be repeated, but the speaking of his words is always once. It is ordained for man to wrestle with a God who is singular in his speaking. But when God speaks, when he truly speaks to the soul, one will hear him twice. There will then be instant certainty. He who once has heard God speak will hear him again. Yet people also speak. They do not speak only once, for while they are speaking, their thoughts are formed. For this reason, they repeat their speaking. The congregation that commences to speak will soon become a congregation that formulates proverbs. And that is their undoing. That is the spoiling of the thoughts. For indeed, a proverb is a waterslide for the visitors of a fair in a city of people who think. It puts the wrestling thoughts to rest, makes the common particular, and then approaches the particular in a common way again. Thus the proverb imposes its preconceived thinking on other things, and each preconception that originates from the pure speaking of God is good. Indeed, it becomes the highest commandment. But every preconception that originates from our impure listening becomes a calamity. And exactly for this reason, there is no greater enmity against the once speaking of God than in the proverbs of people. Thus Israel sinned against the awesome speech of God when it made a proverb of Saul also being among the prophets. By making it into a proverb, Israel devalued the terrible judgment of God, who threw down the man who wanted to strike Samuel and bind David, and caused him to prophesy even though his soul remained a stranger to the real contents of the prophecy and of the majesty of God, who in this way made a captive of this king. The people made the gold of revelation into common coins for the market of easy conversations, the market where the wrestling in the inner chamber with God had become a mockery. Also here, around Samuel and Saul, God once had spoken, but Israel did not even once understand it properly. And they had thrown the tragedy of Saul on the table of the exchanges of facetiousness. They have made the wrestling match of God, who also in the struggle of David and Saul sought his Messiah, into a cheerful and careless subject of entertaining hours in which the escape from God, who wants to make us listen twice to what he has spoken once. And he who is wise will now let himself be instructed in simplicity. God's word, the revelation of God, was not given for easygoing people who want to build the paragraphs of the institution of truth by proverbs. He who makes jokes about the lost lives and warped royal ways of Saul, or even makes only proverbs of them, by which one can yawn, has not understood that he himself, by nature, make sure not to make a proverb of that term either, is like Saul. For indeed, at one time everyone who is lost will prophesy against his own will, every child of hell will once be a captive of the spirit of prophecy, which presses the truth even from unwilling lips. He who thus devalues the language of God has forgotten that in every hour of the life of Saul, God is on the way to the Messiah, who was not acknowledged by Saul as the end of the theocratic state. He will not have seen that every hour is only one hour, that God's history never repeats itself, and that he who wants to know him should not learn any proverbs, for the reason that they are so easy. For grace is not an inheritance. Perhaps we have even made a proverb of that. But when we have heard that word once, and repeated it twice again in fear and trembling, then we will see that the proverbs of people are indeed an inheritance, but that God's speaking is always grace, and for this reason always new grace. Thus, it can never become an inheritance. The grace of God's word is not an inheritance of a congregation that entertains itself by proverbs.